Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, our journey takes us to the dark side of Marathon County, which now has the dubious distinction of being rated second in the state of Wisconsin, second only to Milwaukee County, in the number of domestic homicides. The ugly truth was reinforced by an incident on January 3rd outside a Wausau nursing home. A local nurse, Robin Dunwoody, was gunned down as she went to work that morning, shot in the clear view of witnesses by a man described as her ex-boyfriend, a man who moments earlier had been seen trying to stuff her into the trunk of his car. Our guest today will focus on the psychology of domestic violence, the mindsets of abusers, and the life situations of their victims, and the options they face. Our panel today consists of Jane Graham Jennings, Executive Director of the Women's Community, a local shelter for domestic violence victims; Lee Shipway, a psychotherapist who treats abusers at her counseling firm, Peaceful Solutions of Wausau; and finally, Marathon County District Attorney Jill Falstead, who has made crimes of violence one of her priorities. We want to hear from you today with your comments and observations. Why is there such a problem in central Wisconsin? Why here? Maybe you've known someone who was abused. Maybe you know an abuser. Maybe you have some answers. Or maybe you just have some questions. One way or the other, please call us at 261-6371, 261-6371, or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jane Graham Jennings, as someone who runs the Women's Community Shelter, your reaction when you heard the news on January 3rd that we had another incident, and one that was just so public in, of all places, a nursing home parking lot that's really close to the Aspirus Medical Campus in an upscale neighborhood. Your reaction?
My reaction every time I'm aware of a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault, overwhelming sadness and quite a bit of anger that this continues to happen in our community and in our state. And my heart goes out to the family and to her coworkers and to all the witnesses, because it's really a painful thing, and it's still very shocking to our community.
Also shocking are these statistics. Why is Marathon County and central Wisconsin disproportionately represented in the statistics of domestic homicide? Why us?
That's something that, as kind of experts in the field, the Marathon County Domestic Violence Intervention Team is kind of struggling with that question and really trying to get the heart of that. We do have a domestic violence homicide review team that gets together after we have homicides and looks at what occurred in the situation and was there something that could have been done differently, and really trying to get at the heart of why this continues to happen.
Jill Falstead, as district attorney, how much of your time and how much of the time of local law enforcement agencies is tied up with domestic violence cases?
Domestic violence cases come into court every single day. So it is a priority. People are arrested. There is the mandatory arrest law, and they are brought into the court system. As I said, every day we have intake, and it's rare, if ever now, that we don't have a case at our intake in criminal court. We spend a lot of time on it. We have a prosecutor who devotes all of his time to prosecuting domestic violence as part of our Violence Against Women Act grant that we have in Marathon County. Those are federal dollars that we use to dedicate to the prosecution of domestic violence. So we do make it a priority and spend a lot of our focus and energy on dealing with those situations.
And the number of those cases has been going up over the years.
It's significant numbers, but it is usually between 550 to 650. It has tended to range in that kind of number.
And Lee Shipway, as someone who counsels abusers, what motivates these people, and how can someone try to do what happened in this particular situation, stuff another human being into the trunk of a car, like you were putting a bag of groceries away and then shoot her down in cold blood in the clear view of witnesses.
I know it's very difficult to understand the dynamics of the situation, and there's no one type of abuser. There's really about three different types, I would say. One of the larger types of subset of abusers are guys who have raised in families where they've been taught that they are supposed to wear the pants, that they're supposed to be in control. Our society also gives men that message, that they're supposed to be dominant, they're supposed to be controlling towards their partners, or over their partners, I should say. Another subset of abusers are guys who have some mental health issues, who are suffering from depression a lot of times, sometimes anxiety. And often they are the guys who get very obsessed with their partners. It's something in the business we call centrality of the victim, meaning that his whole life centers around her. So it's kind of paradoxical. A lot of times this certain subset of guys tries to come across as if they have all the answers, they're in control, they're very confident. But it's actually the opposite of that inside. They feel inadequate. They feel insecure, and they put all their eggs in one basket.
It's a big act, in other words.
It's a big act, absolutely. So they put all of their energy into this partner who is their whole life. And then if she leaves him or she breaks up with him, he can't handle that, he can't deal with that, and oftentimes that's when you get the homicide suicides.
I'm Glenn Moberg. The subject today is domestic violence and a disproportionate number of domestic homicides occurring in central Wisconsin and Marathon County. You're listening to Route 51. We want to hear from you. The phone number is 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. Bob and Stevens Point, you're on Route 51. Hello, Bob.
My problem is a statistic. If you are second to Milwaukee, Milwaukee is a very tiny county. You are the biggest county, but you are not second in population. So to say we are the second worst in the state out of the 72 counties, to me, is meaningless. Do I make my point?
Jane, do you want to take that?
Sure,
and stay on the line, Bob. I want to talk about these statistics a little bit more.
What we're talking about is the number of homicides that have occurred in each county. And so Marathon County has had more homicides than the other counties in the states since 2006. So that's where that number comes from. And all the other counties in the states where domestic violence homicide occurred since 2006, Marathon County is second in the number of homicides related to domestic violence, behind the number that Milwaukee has.
Bob, doesn't that strike you as being significant? That
I'm not really interested in the topic. I'm interested in the incompleteness of the statistic.
Okay.
How many people has Marathon County? How many people has Milwaukee County? That's a statistic. Not Marathon County is second compared to Milwaukee County. That's meaningless. Okay, I'll give you a better example. Many years ago, NBC did a special, and there was one or two murders in south central Wisconsin around Adams Friendship. And it turned out that they were the most violent place in the United States that year. You get my point.
Right. So, Bob, you're talking about how the number of community members in Milwaukee County versus Marathon County. When you say Milwaukee County is a small county, you mean geographically.
I mean square footage.
Right. But if you look at the population, Milwaukee County has more residents than Marathon County. Am I
That's
correct
right.
on that?
That's right.
Milwaukee County is huge. So if Marathon County, which has relatively less population by a great degree than Milwaukee County, and if we're right up there in a comparison with domestic homicide statistics, that to me would make that statistic more significant, not less significant.
Yes.
I agree with you if you're saying that it's based on population.
It is based on population.
Okay, then that's all I really want to know. So, it's just like more snowmobile deaths this year. Well, there's more snow, you know,
right.
And that's basically. So based on the population, prorated Marathon County to Milwaukee County, Marathon County is second worst based on population, not just because they had the second most throughout the state.
Correct.
Okay. Now we're clear.
Bob, thanks so much for the phone call. We want to hear from you, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
And we are talking about domestic violence, domestic homicides on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guest today, Marathon County District Attorney Jill Falstead, Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community, and Lee Shipway, a counselor at Peaceful Solutions. We're looking at the psychology of abusers, the situations their victims find themselves in, what their options are, and what some of the solutions might be. We do want to hear from you, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. Nick in Marathon City, you are on Route 51. Hello, Nick.
Oh, I'm a little nervous, but I just want to make a few couple points while I was listening to your conversation. I don't want to talk mostly about statistics. I want to talk about the comedy of the use of alcoholism. Maybe some of these people that that abused, you know, abuse alcohol, and possibly that they grow up in that kind of environment of broken households, and that, you know, affects their psychology. When they get in a relationship, they're not able to handle the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They lean back on alcohol and other, maybe other substance abuse.
Well, Lee Shipway, alcohol is often a factor in these situations, isn't it?
Alcohol is a factor, but not as often as people think, actually. That's a myth that's out there. A lot of times when I speak with people, they think that the alcohol is causing the violence, and that's not true. With the people that we see in our program, I would say probably about 55 to 60% have had some kind of alcohol involved in the incident, but it's not the cause. And let me explain why that is. Most of these people have power and control issues that are there to begin with. If they then have alcohol on top of that, it makes it easier for them to be abusive. It lowers their inhibitions, but it isn't what's causing it. It's kind of like if you've got a fire burning, you throw kerosene on top of that fire, it makes it burn higher and longer. So it's a factor and exasperates an existing issue. One of the scary things about the guys that I've seen over my 23 years of doing this treatment is that some of them actually will go and get drunk on purpose to then say he has an excuse for why he did the abuse, but he intended to do the abuse all along.
Jill, to what extent is alcohol a factor in your experience as district attorney?
Well, I really agree with what Lee has just explained. And in fact, when we get convictions and look at treatment and rehabilitation, first and foremost, what we require before alcohol treatment is their participation in the SAFE program, which is the gold standard of treatment programs in this area of violence and relationship issues. So we actually send them to Peaceful Solutions to participate in that programming because it is shown to have the best success with dealing with the issues that are present. Now, after they go through that, if they successfully complete that, then there may be some additional requirements regarding drug and alcohol treatment. But I agree with Lee's assessment.
So what you're saying is that alcohol might exacerbate the situation, might make it worse, but it's not the underlying cause.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. On occasion, I say maybe 1% of the people, there is an alcohol issue that is primary, and then we'll send that man or woman for an alcohol treatment before they come into the SAFE program. But by and large, we have them go through our program first.
Nick, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, the second part was them coming from, like, broken households, and that maybe that alcoholism was a part of, you know, their family and being lack of love as a child. And just needing to be, you know, required to get in relationship. And once they do, like you made a point earlier, that they get too attached to their, you know, their current, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend, that possibly when, you know, they do get broken up, that does amplify the situation. And if there's children a part of it that might make the situation worse too, like the current what happened in Marathon County, that he broke up, or was it his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend, that he just couldn't be able to handle it.
Do abusers come from abusive households? I guess that's the gist of Nick's question.
Yes, they do. Nick is right on the money with this. I see a lot of the guys, I'd say probably 65 to 70% of them have grown up in families where they saw their moms abused by their dads or their dads abused by their moms. And in addition to that, and or they were abused by one of their parents. I do see a large percentage of the guys coming through who grew up in alcoholic families. And Nick is right about that. When you grow up in an alcoholic family, it's very tumultuous. It's very much like a roller coaster that's up and down. And sometimes those people then end up having control issues because they had no control growing up in that family. And they then become more dependent on others because they're trying to find that love that was a hole for them growing up. So, Nick, you're really correct about that.
Nick, okay, thank you very much.
Nick, thanks so much for the questions. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742, 780-9742 if you want to join the conversation. Jane Graham Jennings, what options do abuse victims have? You obviously have a shelter. Is it for everyone?
One of the things that I also think about when tragedies occur in our community and they get a lot of headlines and media attention is the messages that everyone is seeing, and that includes potential victims or victims currently living in those situations. And so one of the things that's really important is to get a message out to victims, because seeing those kinds of headlines and realizing that could be me can be even more frightening and keep victims in a situation where they really don't think that they're able to get out and get help. So a really important message is, first of all, let someone know what's happening. Let someone know that you're afraid, or let someone know that your partner that you tried to break up with won't let you go, continues to call you, or continues to try to maintain contact with you when you have told them you don't want contact. So services available are a number of places. The victim services the women's community provides are free to anyone who has been a victim of violence, male, female, child, working with them. We do have a shelter that we can house people when they need to flee violent homes. They need to find a transitional home. We have other support services. We can help them if they're in the criminal justice system, support them through that system, work with the law enforcement, the district attorney's office, and help them in any way. We have some assistance to help them relocate and find a new place to live. There's a variety of things that we can do, but the most important thing that we really want people to understand is if someone that you know is in situations, get them help. And if you are in the situation, let someone know there is help out there and you don't have to go through this alone.
Jane, what's the phone number for the women's community? If someone listening right now feels a need to contact you.
Our toll-free number is 1-888-665-1234. Our 24-hour support line is 842-7323.
Okay, repeat those.
1-888-665-1234, and locally 842-7323.
And while we're giving phone numbers out, Lee Shipway, Peaceful Solutions, you do deal with a number of abusers and the issues they face in their lives. What's your phone number?
Our phone number is 715-675-3458.
Repeat that.
715-675-3458.
Okay, Peaceful Solutions, which is located in Wausau. Now, we were talking about how victims often don't talk to other people about their abuse. Jill, this apparently was the case in this situation, this most recent situation on January 3rd. She didn't let a lot of people know what was happening.
Well, I think she did let some people know, but again, I think victims often feel that it's not going to really happen, the violence won't escalate, they'll be able to control the situation if they don't want to make trouble, they don't want to bother friends. And I know that happened, you know, on a number of previous homicides we've looked at where the victim just shouldered that on her own, in one of the prior trials, it came out that she didn't want to burden her family because her father was sick, and they were dealing with that, and so she just kept it to herself. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for everybody around her who would have wanted to step up and help. So that isolation is definitely a factor. And what we encourage people to do is to tell somebody, to talk it through, to document it, to share it, because hopefully then those people will provide the support for victims to come forward and, you know, hopefully tell the women's community advocates what is going on or therapists. And we encourage people to involve law enforcement. The law enforcement has worked hard to improve their response to the complaints of domestic violence victims. I think they have. And certainly once they get into our system, if an arrest follows, what happens with that offender is this isn't a hidden problem anymore. Now it's exposed. There's light on the situation. And once that happens, it really is a defining moment for the offender. The message to the offender is the police have looked at your conduct, determined it is wrong, it is criminal. The DA's office has looked at your conduct, determined it's wrong and it is criminal, and the court system is sending that message. And just even that arrest and getting the person into the court system affords a cooling off period. It affords that break in the activity, hopefully to stop the violence or de-escalate the violence and get services and support in there for the victim and the offender.
And that can serve as protection as well. Sometimes when the abuser is put on notice, he's going to back off a little bit, Lee?
Absolutely. That's one of the most interesting parts about this is when I think about the offenders that we've had in our program, we've treated somewhere between 3,000 and 3,500 abusers over the years. And when I think about the few who have gone on to kill, it was after they were off of probation. It was when no one was any longer watching them. So they are very controlled. They know when they can get away with something and when they can't.
Hold your thoughts. We've got a break for the news. We're talking about the disturbing statistics of domestic homicide and domestic violence right here in our own backyard in central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Mober. Give us a phone call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742.
Wisconsin Public Radio include the Hooper Corporation, providing electric power and mechanical construction services to commercial, industrial, and utility companies throughout Wisconsin and neighboring states since 1913. Information on the web at hoopercorp.com.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. The subject today, domestic violence in central Wisconsin, specifically very disturbing statistics regarding the number of domestic homicides in Marathon County, which now ranks second only to Milwaukee County statewide in that number. Our guest today, Marathon County District Attorney Jill Falstead, Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community, and Lee Shipway of Peaceful Solutions Counseling. We're looking at the psychology of domestic violence, what motivates abusers, why do women find themselves in these situations, and what options, if any, do abusers and victims have in breaking the cycle of violence. We do want to hear from you, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's toll-free, 800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. Marion in Wausau, you're on Route 51. Hello, Marion.
Hello, Glenn. I'm calling related to Lee Shipway's comments about parenting. She was talking particularly about parenting of the boys, and I'd like her to elaborate on that, or any of them, their comments, boys, and also the parenting of girls and how that can affect their reaction to, they're usually the victim, how that can affect their reaction.
Lee?
Good question, Marion. Oftentimes I find that kids that are raised in families where there is domestic violence, first and foremost, learn that violence is acceptable. Secondly, they learn if it's the man being abusive to the woman, even without knowing it, they're socialized to believe that women are less than men, that they're not as worthy or as valuable. And so oftentimes, kind of subconsciously, those boys will grow up to be abusers because what they see through their eyes is who they become, and that's what's been modeled for them. Sometimes the daughters in those families will grow up to be victims as well because of the old adage. We oftentimes try to find a partner that's a lot like our dad for girls and for boys like their moms. And so oftentimes that generational cycle does repeat. But having said that, let me also say that sometimes domestic violence occurs when people have grown up in very good families, very healthy families, and there has not been domestic violence going on.
Mary, do you have a follow-up?
Well, I was thinking also of the intervention, how when I'm sure intervention, the sooner it happens, the better. But how I suppose Jill and Jane then, well, all of you would know how long it takes for a real change to be made in a personality of someone who has such a power issue.
You know, that's a tougher question, Marion. One of the reasons that we started the SAFE program, which stands for Stopping Abuse for Everyone, was that we were invested in this not just for the men and women who are being abusive and their partners, but also for their children. We really want to stop that generational cycle of violence. And so I know that if I can get a dad to treat the mom with respect, and that's modeled to the children, that is going to do a lot of good for those kids to grow up with a better self-esteem and to be able to see that women are equal to men and not be abusive. So in terms of how long does it take for treatment, you know, that's a really difficult question. Our treatment program is actually 18 weeks long. Some of the treatment programs around the state of Wisconsin in the Madison area are 52 weeks long. It's very difficult to undo a lifetime of learned behavior.
Hard to imagine that you can do that in 18 weeks.
It is difficult. And the reason we do it in that short of a time is that because we have so many people on the waiting list trying to get in, we run five groups a week. And as soon as that group gets done, another one is ready to go.
How many abusers do you see a week?
We see 50 a week. We have five groups, 10 different people in those groups, and we do that all year round.
And so, how do they get referred to you? How many of them call you up and say, hey, I've got a problem? And how many kind of get pointed in that direction by law enforcement or other people?
Well, let's say this. About 99.9% of them get pointed in our direction from law enforcement. Almost all of our referrals come through the district attorney's office and through the probation department. Very rarely does a guy call us up and say, I've got a problem, or a female, I want to get into to therapy. I'll say maybe one every 2 years we'll get a voluntary participant.
And Jill, what's the procedure for that?
Well, when they're charged with the crime, certainly they have the right to an attorney and to contest the matter. But eventually, if it does resolve, our preferred disposition in the court system is to have them placed on probation, or go through our diversion program if it's appropriate. And then we always want to put them into the treatment program, particularly the SAFE program. You know, throwing someone in as a consequence into jail for this type of offense for 10 or 20 days or 45 days doesn't stop the behavior. We want them to get that treatment and invest in that treatment and make meaningful change so the behavior stops, so the violence stops. And that way victims are safer. And even if they don't stay with that victim, if they end up with another partner in the future, having gone through that program is the best way to ensure that that next woman won't be a victim.
And, you know, interestingly, Glenn, a lot of the guys that come through the program after about week 5, 6, and certainly at week 15 say to me, I'm so glad I was arrested. It was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I'm glad that I was forced into treatment. I never realized that all of these different things were abuse, and I didn't realize the impact on my children, and I'm glad that I'm here.
I've never heard anybody say, I'm glad that I was arrested.
I know. It's really odd, isn't it?
Marion, do you have anything else?
No. I appreciate your program. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the phone call. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. If you want to get in on this discussion of domestic violence, the disturbing statistics in Marathon County with District Attorney Jill Falstead, Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community, and Lee Shipway of Peaceful Solutions Counseling. Jill, we were just talking about education, and in the village of Weston, in particular, there's been an effort to bring together schools, public officials, law enforcement, and others. It was really spearheaded by Village Administrator Dean Zuliger and Everest Metro Police Chief Dan Vergine. The effort was called Real Men Respect Women. They've been using coaches and other local leaders as role models, circulating petitions for young people to sign. Everest Men Respect billboards on Schofield Avenue. That was really kind of a one-of-a-kind at the time solution to what's been a recurring problem.
I think we were hoping that it would spread throughout the county, but certainly the Everest officials were leaders in this area. We appreciate that. We were all very supportive and on board with that effort, and education is key to stopping this behavior and shedding light on this behavior and encouraging victims to come forward for help, because we are here to help victims in law enforcement, in the women's community, and in the DA's office.
And particularly the idea of using coaches and trying to get at young men and trying to get the idea across to them at a young age that, hey, if you have learned that as a male, you are superior and you can treat women any way that you want to, that's just not cool.
It's not cool. And the really neat thing about the men respect is that it has to come from the men. One of the things I've noticed over the years is that women can say this till the cows come home, and men and boys really are not taught to listen to women. I hate to say that, but it's true. And so when men teach young boys that this is what the way it should be, this is how you respect women, because I respect women, that just speaks volumes.
Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Again, we want to hear from you. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
If you just joined us, this is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about the disturbing statistics regarding domestic violence and domestic homicide in central Wisconsin and Marathon County. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Back to the phones. Mark in Wausau. You're on Route 51. Hello, Mark.
Hi. My question is, why Wausau? Why Marathon County? Why does the problem develop from? Where does the problem develop from? Is it a largely poverty-inclined issue? Is it an effect of our school systems? Are our school policies failing our community? Or are our teachers not reporting potential causes to appropriate services? Or is there some known attitude of compliancy from the law enforcement? So why here? Why in Wausau?
And again, that's something that as the anti-violence folks in our community are grappling with, trying to figure that out. One of the interesting things with domestic violence that's kind of hard to wrap your head around is that, in fact, we may be doing something as an effective response as a community when we see the numbers increase. And we can think of it in this way. When domestic violence was very, very silent, and though there's still many people who don't talk about it, and it's still a very shame-filled factor for victims, but it is a little bit more acceptable to ask for help now, and people are asking for help. And when victims were initially asking for help, 20, 30 years ago, the response was minimal and there was not any help for them. And now that there's services available, now that there's a law enforcement response, the mandatory arrest into play, a criminal justice system that really is trying to keep victims safe and hold perpetrators accountable, what we may be seeing is that because we have an effective community response, we're seeing an increase in the reports. And so it kind of plays itself out like that. When you have a community that keeps people safe, you see an increase because they know that there's going to be something done in their situation. They don't feel so helpless. So one of the things that may be, and we still won't know that for a couple of years, is that we may be having an effective response, and that's what's going on.
Mark, do you have any ideas? Why do you think Wausau? It's the first question I asked at the start of the program. I'm wondering if it's got something to do with our traditional old world, old European culture here, that maybe there are some attitudes that go back many thousands of years. Abuse of women is really nothing new. Women couldn't even vote 100 years ago.
You're right about that, Glenn. One of the things that people probably don't realize is that it used to be legal in this country to beat your wife. There's an old law called the rule of thumb, which is on the books, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, that said a man has the right to beat his wife with a stick no thicker than the thickness of his thumb. There were common laws to that among many other states in the nation. Those laws were repealed in the early 1900s, but that kind of belief system trickled down from that generation till today. And so when you set that up, that one gender is supposed to have control over another gender, it kind of stacks the deck.
Mark, thanks so much for the phone call. We've got to move on. We've got Charles in Cannon. Charles, you're on Route 51.
Yes. I'm west of there.
Oh, you're from Wausau?
I'm from Wausau. I'm about 90 miles west and a little north of Wausau.
That's where Cannon is.
Yeah.
Are you picking us up on 90.3 FM this evening?
Yeah.
Okay. Your question.
Listen to the conversation and stuff, you know, about, men abusing women and that, but, you know, sometimes there's an opposite side to that.
And could you be more specific? You've had experiences with women abusing men.
Oh yeah, you know I've had women physically hit me and didn't hit them back, and to me mental abuse is worse than physical abuse.
You're absolutely right about that, and we do treat women at our abusers treatment program. We serve about 300 clients a year. Out of those 300 clients, about 36 to 40 are women. So it does exist that there are some women who are abusive, who are physically abusive, or mentally.
And you know, like I say, mental abuse is more devastating than somebody. You know, when I was growing up as a child, my mother was 100% German. If I interrupted in a conversation or something, I got a slap across the face. Well, that got my attention,
Right.
You didn't do that. So I learned, But when you receive that kind of abuse day after day after day, in a relationship, it builds up.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe it builds up, but that doesn't justify a response.
No.
Well, and I
would rather just walk away from the situation.
Which is absolutely what we would encourage, trying to find a way to get out of that, having someone mentally, psychologically, verbally say things to you on a daily basis. It wears you down. It wears down your psyche, mm-hmm. and it is extremely painful. You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
I have to say the other thing.
I'm getting to an age right now where I won't tolerate it.
Well, we advise you to walk away, Charles.
I'm not going. I just like to voice my opinion, because my experience in life, and I just became a great grandpa,
Well, Charles,
only 57 years old,
Charles, thanks for the phone call, and we appreciate your comments.
All right,
Jane, why do women find themselves in these situations?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and a couple of things come to my mind, and I'll try to be kind of succinct about that. One is that, when we're talking about growing up in an abusive home, it doesn't destine someone to become abusive, so we want to be clear about that. Abuse is always a choice. In domestic violence, in situations where someone is using power and control, that's a choice that the person uses to maintain control over their partner. There are many other ways, and not all people who grow up in those homes become next generations. They're statistically more do, but not all. So it's not a destiny, and that's something that's really important for people to understand. You can choose to do other things. Like Charles said, you can choose to walk away, which is something that we would encourage. So the question is, why do women find themselves in this situation? Oftentimes, in our experience, what we see is that it's actually the abuser who's kind of finding the women who are vulnerable for a number of reasons. There's a significant correlation between women who were survivors of childhood sexual abuse that are in violent relationships because they are vulnerable, because they had that abuse endured as they're growing up, they are more vulnerable to abusive people, and abusers find them. Sometimes abusers see a woman who is extremely independent, and what Lee was talking about, kind of that self-esteem, they think that if I can get that independence, if I can get that woman, I'll have that same feeling, I'll be powerful. And so I think it's more about abusive people who find victims than victims finding abusers.
Maybe what it sounds to me like you're saying is that men who grow up in abusive households where they see abuse as a child are more likely than others to grow up to be abusers. Maybe women who grow up in abusive households where they see that as a child, maybe they're more likely to grow up abused.
I think there's some truth to that. I don't know if the research bears that out. I've certainly talked to many partners over the years of the guys going through our program. Some grew up in abusive families, some did not. The thing that people need to understand is that some of these guys can be so charming. They can be really nice, and they can be really not nice. And it's that really nice part that sucks you in, that keeps you coming back for more, and then he can flip that switch without any kind of warning to that. But it's that really great guy that hooks you in. And so I've seen a lot of really smart women, beautiful women, well-attained women get fall prey to these guys because they're that cunning. They can be that cunning.
Well, the other dynamic that I just wanted to bring up that we have to be really sensitive to is when women have suffered abuse over a prolonged period of time, and then what triggers their coming to the attention of law enforcement is that they try to defend themselves or lash out. And I know sometimes that is how women end up in programming with Lee's program and come to the attention of the justice system. So I think we have to be very sensitive to women who are trying to defend themselves as well.
Jane, often the most dangerous time for a woman is when she decides to end an abusive relationship. Isn't that true?
That is true. One of the things that is really that we try to get people to understand as we're understanding the psyche and the psychology of domestic violence, people ask the question, why doesn't a victim just leave? And the answer is because they can't. If it were easy, they would just leave. And there are so many reasons for that, and it varies depending on each situation and each family. In most situations, the abuse starts out fairly minimal, and the first time if there's physical abuse, and again, when we're thinking about abuse, that can be on a continuum, verbal all the way up to the lethal situations that are in our headlines right now. But all of those things that are happening, they don't happen all at one time. It's kind of a gradual progression where it becomes kind of shocking the first time it happens. So women don't leave for a variety of reasons.
When a woman is in an abusive relationship and she wants to leave, and she hears something like this situation that happened where a woman is gunned down in this parking lot on January 3rd, that often frightens her, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that's something that is really important for people to hear. There is help available, and this doesn't have to be what happens to everyone. Most women who leave a violent relationship, by the vast majority, are able to leave and have a different life. That's what we experience in the victim service field. If that weren't true, if most of the women ended in tragedy, I couldn't stay in this work. What we know is that most women can find a different place, but we need to figure out ways to help them ensure that, because there's so many barriers to that point.
Jane Graham Jennings, the phone number of the women's community again for those who are listening and who may need your services?
Toll free is 1-888-665-1234. Locally is 842-7323.
Repeat those.
1-888-665-1234, 842-7323.
And Lee Shipway, Peaceful Solutions Counseling, if someone has an abuse problem or someone may need your services, your phone number.
Our phone number is 715-675-3458. Again, that's 715-675-3458. And I want to emphasize, people can sign up for our SAFE program voluntarily. You do not have to be through the court system.
And Jill, when somebody does get to the point where they're in trouble with the law, How often is rehabilitation an option in situations like this? How often does it work? What's your success ratio?
Well, if they are the very violent, brutal attacks, and we have seen some increase in that, we will seek to, quite frankly, incarcerate the person for the protection of the community and the protection of the victim. But in many other cases, we do have success with putting people on probation and having them follow through with the treatment regimen offered through the SAFE program. And in fact, that has had a real impact and success in not having repeat offenders. If they meaningfully invest in that treatment, they can make better choices and bring greater safety to their families, their significant others, and the community.
We actually track that, Glenn, and about 96% of the people who complete the program do not reoffend.
We are out of time. Jane Graham Jennings, Lee Shipway, Jill Falstead, ladies, thank you so much for joining us for the past hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks also to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week, we focus on the historic inauguration of America's first African-American president, Barack Obama, with some eyewitness accounts from local people who will attend the ceremonies and celebrations in Washington, D.C. Thanks for riding along with us today on Route 51. Until next week, we are heading out of town.